T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Boy, hey, we're giving you some heat today, and we're having a good time on the show, and we are thankful that you have taken the time out to listen to us, and I hope that we are adding some excitement and some normalcy to your day. And you know, with that, let's think about not crushing me for my thought here. Clint, people out there listening, let's give this a chance.
You can't warn me before you hit me. You can't do that. You can't beg for forgiveness before you make your point.
Let's give me a shot here. I think right now Bill O'Brien obviously is in a struggle with how people are viewing him right now in the city. Hell, everywhere. But I think a potential secret weapon for him that can save him is going to be the play of the defense next season. I think, Clint, this has to be, because I think he'll be, I think the heat will come down if he wins, because I think when you win, automatically people feel better. And I think one of the biggest reasons why this defense, why this team will win, is because I think the defense has a chance to take the biggest step of any part of the team next year.
Man, that's a gutsy one. You're gonna have to convince me of this one right here. I think I see there's some possibilities. There's some possibilities on both sides of the football, but when I look at the defense, they're no closer to taking a step forward to me at this point in time right now than the offense is, minus DeAndre Hopkins. So it's going to take some convincing, my brother.
More and more, I'm not going to lie to you, yesterday, last night, about 11 o'clock, I did watch some Dylan Cole highlight packages, and that did get me going a little bit. His speed, his ability, he had an interception that I didn't know most linebackers could do down the field. I did get excited a little bit about Dylan Cole, but I'm going to tell you where I really feel confidence, Clint, is I really believe that this team's defense is more about mentality than it is about lack of players. I'm not saying that this defense can't get better, but I have some real belief that the mentality and the way that the aggressiveness that I believe Anthony Weaver is going to bring to this team. I put it to you like this. I'm so confident, Anthony Weaver. I believe when we are talking towards the end of the year next year, Clint, if we are, I believe Anthony Weaver is going to be the most important offseason change on the team. I believe that his change, his mentality, and how the defense will be run will be so critical and big that I think it's going to be the number one offseason impact of the season. And I that's where a lot of my belief lies, is his ability to change the mentality and the way that they go about things. Because I think they've got more players than they're giving credit for.
Oh, I said this last year, man. I thought this was a football team that, even on the defensive side of the football last year, stacked up, when they're healthy, stacked up, you know, a lot better than people gave him credit for. And I thought I'm higher on the secondary than most people are anyway. And so I don't doubt that they can make a huge leap in production and in performance if they simply stay healthy. And so staying healthy is going to be a big part of it. For me, the jury's still out on Anthony Weaver. I love the fact that everybody we talk about or talk to that played with or coached under, or not coached under, but coached with, and everybody that's been around Anthony Weaver is extremely high on him as a defensive coordinator. But you know as well as I know that defensive coordinator is a whole different monster than coaching that D-line. and to think that it's going to be a seamless transition from one to the next, I think is a little bit of a stretch. Now, it's happened. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's very possible. But to bank on it right now for Meshaw with this defense, man, that's a lot of expectations on Anthony Weaver.
I think I'll handle that part, the Anthony Weaver thing. I understand the seamless thought of just moving from coaching the D line as the coordinator is not just the thought of, oh, that'll be easy. I'm not saying that it'll be easy. I'm just saying, I think when I watch the Texans, the biggest issue to me is just the mentality and how they go about things. And I love Romeo Crennel. I respect that man a ton. I remember him when he was here in Kansas City. I am a big Romeo Crennel fan. But one of the things about Romeo Crennel is he is really just laid back. He is like that, like, in his mindset is don't get beat. It's bend and don't break. Everybody we talk to and that I've talked to about Anthony Weaver is that mindset is different, which I think can be a huge, huge deal for this defense and changing how this defense goes. And when I get to the players, man, all right, man, I know we say that they need some help at pass rush, and they do, because I think I've said it before, you can't just depend on J.J. Watt being healthy all the time. But if you're going to tell me, man, we're going to start with J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus, I'm not saying it's a finished deal or let's go get them, but that's a hell of a start. And I feel like there are some reasons that we talk so bad and so hard about their deficiencies that we don't just look at, well, you could do something with that. You know, I think you brought up the biggest point is staying healthy. But you talk about, you start me off, Clint, with the J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, who's not a superstar, but is a guy who could go out and get you double-figure sacks, especially if J.J. Watt is playing on the other side, who's consistent and is a pro. You give me Justin Reed on the back end. I'm not as high on Bradley Roby as you are, but he is a starting corner in this league, and I know there are teams that have worse than that. You give me Zach Cunningham in the middle. Like, and then they just have some pieces that you see could grow and take steps forward. I just don't think we give them enough credit for the players they have defensively. And when you change the mindset, I can see a real step being taken by this defense.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you that there's opportunity for a huge step to be made. I'm in terms of being better for 16 games, absolutely. I can't get beyond show for me, and this is a different approach to the topic that's at hand here, but I can't get beyond what I saw when J.J. Watt wasn't there. I can't get beyond what I saw when J.J. Watt was there versus Kansas City and there was no speed. And so while I believe that they can get better, I think Duke Ejiofor is a guy that could help them tremendously. Yes. I think Dylan Cole being back helps them tremendously. Charles Omenihu in his second year. We talk a lot about guys taking steps in their second year. I think Charles Omenihu is a guy that will absolutely take a huge step in his second year. I do believe that. I don't think all guys do. I think we talk about it too much, but I think he's a guy that will take a big step forward in his second year. And so there are a lot of pieces in place for this defense to be better. I just typically start this conversation with, are they going to make enough progress to where they can compete with the big dogs? And that scares me to go into a season with all of that what if depending on J.J. Watt's health. Because right now everything is dependent on J.J. Tim Jernigan has a chance to be better if J.J.'s healthy, right? Whitney Mercilus has a chance to be – hell, he could be a double-digit sack guy if J.J. Watt's healthy. I think there's Jacob Martin, a guy that got in the trade from Seattle. I think he's got a chance to surprise a lot of people and be better, and that's all expected. Hell, you should do those things in your second and your third year. My question is this conversation valid as we talk about it relative to Kansas City? You know what I mean? Can Anthony Weaver bring enough change to the table where the
they're not scoring 51 straight points?
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yes,
right.
I do believe that. Yes.
Ooh, that's a mouthful.
That is it? Oh, that.
Hell
yes,
yeah.
I do believe that. And I think a lot of that had to do with mentality, and a lot of it had to do with this is from the jump, the attitude of bend it, don't break. And that's just killing yourself against a team like that. And it's the same thing with the Ravens, because they also beat the hell out of the Texans as well last year. I think a mindset is a lot of it. You just don't let nobody. I can't see if Anthony Weaver is everything that we hear about. We talked about this is a guy who played with Ray Lewis and played with Ed Reed and played under Rex Ryan. I just can't believe that he's a guy that's just going to, if he's the head of it, if his hog is on the table, we're just going to sit here, baby, and hold tight with this 51 straight and keep doing the same damn thing. No, I don't think that. I don't get that from everything we hear from Anthony Weaver. And like I said, I think he is the most important part. And also to this, when I hear Bill O'Brien, as he said in his press conference or in his roundtable Friday, say things like, hey, we want to win in January, not in March. It does. I heard Sean Pendergast this morning on the Best Damn Morning Show in Houston, Payne and Pendergast. I heard him say when he hears that, it makes him think that they're not done. And I completely thought the same thing. And when he's not done, I think they're going to add moves on that defensive side of the ball. All right, and I think that also is going to help. I think that's where the moves are going to be made. I think the draft is going to be on the offense, but I think there are some moves that are going to be made on the defensive side of the ball, even bigger than Tim Jernigan, that is going to also give more help to that side of the ball. I think that's the place where the leap can be made is on the defensive side of the ball.
You know the one good thing about all these points that you've made, I think, is – the one that's the biggest is health, obviously, and the change in mentality. But those, to me, the one thing we hadn't discussed is Bill O'Brien's an offensive-minded guy. All we do is ask head coaches to be head coaches, to be general managers, and get the hell out of the way. Let your coaches coach. That's been a problem on the offensive side of the football for Bill O'Brien and whoever the offensive Yep. coordinator was. That's been a sticking point of – whether it's disrupting, the game plan on Thursday, Friday and taking it over, or if it's taking over the play calling from somebody, or it's giving the play calling to somebody, there's always some kind of dysfunction, but it always seems to be on the offensive side of the football. So all those points you make, starting with Anthony Weaver's change in mentality, you got to believe they're a lot more likely to be allowed to occur because Bill O'Brien seems to be a guy that puts his hands in the air and goes, hey, y'all do what y'all want on the defensive side
of football.
You got this.
Yeah,
I'm
he's
an offensive-minded
yeah.
guy. So a change in mentality on the offensive side with Tim Kelly being the play caller, I'm hesitant to say it's bombs away and Tim Kelly's going to be the guy that makes the changes, and that's because Bill O'Brien, I think, will be hovering. But when you look at the defensive side of football with Anthony Weaver, I think there's legitimate some real possibilities that the handcuffs are going to be taken off and Anthony Weaver is going to be allowed to do whatever the hell he wants to do.
The mantra of the defense all offseason, whenever the offseason begins and whenever they can come together to start to prepare for the season, is 51-7. 51-7. You allowed a team in a playoff game to just go on a 51-7 run. Can't happen. That should be on a damn t-shirt, something. That has to be the reminder of motivation every day to help change that mentality. And that's where I see that. I want to, real quick before we go to break, I don't want to just gloss over a main pushback that you had. Yes, if J.J. Watt is hurt, we got problems. But he is the best player on the defense, and I think on either side of the ball in any team in the league, if you have problems with your best player, the person that teams are scared of hell of, and he's out, I mean, I think a lot of defenses are going to have problems.
Yeah, but it don't fall off like they did last year, man. That's my That's my kicker. I get that. I totally understand that if Frank Clark goes down in Kansas City, they're not going to be the same defense.
Yeah, when Chris Jones is out, they look completely different.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is the gap between when that guy's there and when he's not. It can't be.
Yeah,
it can't be a complete disappearing act by guys. I mean, you're talking about guys. Whitney Mercilus was wrecking shop with JJ.
Yeah,
and JJ went down, and my dude teams. They played some teams that were run dominant. And there's several reasons why, but when it's all said and done, they were non-existent. So it just can't hinge on 99 to that degree.
And I believe a lot of that had to do with mentality. I think there is a mentality to say, all right, man, he's down. Let's go. Next man up. The Texans defense didn't have the feel of a mentality like that. All right, we better, because we can talk about this all damn day long. Coming up, I want to get more in depth on this MLB conversation about them potentially starting up, being the first league to start up team sports. Tony Gwynn Jr., Radio.com Sports MLB Insider, will join us coming up next to discuss that more. Clint Sterner on the show. Hughley filling in on a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday across the country and in the beautiful city of Houston. I want to get more into this MLB potentially starting up here in early as May, as conversations are being talked about. And Clint, man, on the line, we got Radio.com Sports MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots. Now, two great tropical flavors. All right, Tony, man, May feels a little quick. That's like 3 weeks away, man. My birthday's May 5th. That's coming up. I just assumed I'm not having no birthday with people. And it feels a little quick that this is happening. What's your thoughts? And do you think this is a positive thought process from the MLB potentially trying to start back up in May?
First, thanks for having me on. Hope you guys are staying safe. It seems a little quick to me too, if I'm being honest. Like May 1st to start spring training, I just can't see it right now. Now you might be able to convince me in June if things continue, if we continue to get good news in terms of flattening the curve. But May seems a little quick. I'm not gonna lie. I hope that they're being consulted by the health professionals before they move forward.
Tony, according to ESPN, man, the article that I read, the only reason that I read any further, to be completely honest with you, was that there was some validity right away to me, because they mentioned the fact that there's high-ranking federal public health officials who believe the league can safely operate in these times. And look, we've heard the president speculate on multiple things, which it's one way, half a dozen another, all the way down to players speculating on things.
Yeah.
But man, when you come out hot with the high-ranking federal public officials are on board, you got my attention, man. Does that change the thought for you?
Listen, I read the same article, and it gives some credence to it, right? But we also know, those of us who've been paying attention to it, some of the federal officials are disagreeing with one another in terms of how we need to move forward. So I guess it depends on who you're talking to, but certainly the fact that they're having the conversation, that makes me hopeful that we can get back to baseball. Regardless of any of that, I can't see May being an actual time frame in which things can get rolling.
Hey, Tony, regardless of the time, though, I thought it was funny. I was watching something this morning. One of the Jeff Passan, I guess, had said that he had talked to a player, and that player said, "Hell no, no way, I'm not being away from my family that long." And then he said, "Oh boy," talked to his wife, and his wife said, "If that's how you're gonna get paid, you get your tail out of here." So, I mean, just from a family standpoint, whenever they do get started up, do you see players? I think those guys are gonna hit the door running and go do what they love to do and play baseball. Do you see being away from the family being a problem?
I do. I think for some of the guys who have been more fortunate in this game to make some money or be have been playing a long time, their families, wives, kids might feel a little differently about heading back to Arizona or wherever the designated places that everybody's going to play. They might feel a little differently. Now, the guys on the other side of that coin, guys who haven't had an opportunity, guys who and remember, the agreement Major League Baseball came up, regardless of whether baseball is played this year, service time is accounted for. So for guys who've been in the league, they may not be as gung-ho about getting going under these circumstances. Now, the guys on the flip side of that coin who haven't had a lot of opportunity or are trying to make way for their big league career, they might feel differently. And so I think that's going to be the toughest part, is getting everybody on the same page from a player standpoint. I agree. Once they get in the door, those dudes will be all in. They're going to do what they love to do.
Sports radio, listening to Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610, radio.com, Sports MLB insider Tony Glenn Jr. is joining us. Tony, it's funny. It seems like you really paid a good amount of attention to all of this, or watch it like many of us have, and the effects of this virus. Just a two-part question. One, what would be the things that would concern you the most if you were a player and they said, all right, man, we're going to get this going May 1st, everybody in Phoenix? What would be your concerns? And two, flat out, Tony, would you go?
I probably would go. Let me take that back. By May 1st, I would be really reluctant to go. But if the union and everybody got on the same page and they decided we're going to go, I would be in for going. And they could all prove to us that we'll be safe. Cool. I personally think, you know, in terms of in terms of these guys getting going, I think once they get in the building, they'll be fine. I think clearly in the year 2020, players, you know how baseball players are, especially when it comes to rule changes and stuff, there's going to be a lot of complaining. But I would just say in 2020, everybody's expectation should be that the game is going to be a little bit different than we've become accustomed to. And it's just for the 1 year. So I hope, you know, once it's to this point where everybody is going to get back out on that field and they can prove everybody's going to be healthy, everybody's going to be safe, guys are going to have to swallow a pill, because baseball players are known for not liking change very much. So there's going to be a lot of changes in this 2020 season. So we'll all have to see. But ultimately, if they all get on the same page, I know if I was a player and they could convince me that I would be healthy and that this wouldn't be I wouldn't be putting myself or my family at risk, I'd be in. I want to do something I love to do.
Tony, what do you think baseball does? I mean, obviously, we're sitting back here with there's a ton of unknown involved in our conversation right now. But where do you think baseball goes if this thing gets to a point where there's no way they can? I think I saw the number of if they can't play 70 plus games or 70 or 80 plus games, then it's hard to really decide on who the best teams in the league are. And so it somewhat taints the season, I guess. And then they're looking at different options of some kind of tournament type play. Like, do you think that, let's not talk about whether it gets to that point or not, but if it does get, do you think that's a real possibility that MLB will do something, I don't know, creative versus canceling the whole season?
I think they'll do what they can to be creative, but only to a certain extent. I think because listen, regardless of how we may feel about it, at the end of the day, owners aren't in the business of losing a whole bunch of money. So eventually they're going to come back to, you know, is it conducive to have a season if you get to like 50 or 60 games where you can only play in the season? They may very well shut the whole thing down. I think there are so many unknowns. It's tough to say. I think they're going to try. They're going to have to get creative, regardless of any of this. If they were to start the season even May 1st, they're going to have to get creative because they're talking about playing as many games as possible. 7-inning doubleheaders is in play. You got extra inning games to worry about. Expand the roster. So they're going to have to get creative regardless of whether this starts in May or it starts later. So I just think after it gets to a certain point, just having been around this game as long as I have, there is an end date in which they say, you know what, it's not worth having the season, I believe.
Radio.com Sports Insider, MLB Insider, Tony Gwynn Jr. joins us. We appreciate you so much for taking the time out to join us. Before this coronavirus situation hit, we obviously know the number one story in baseball, hell, you could argue in sports, was the Houston Astros, right? And I'm curious to you, now that this virus has become the biggest focal point, and this is real life stuff, there are people who are losing their lives to this. Do you think whenever they start baseball up, that this virus and this situation will lessen the blow on how fans and other teams treat the Astros?
I have to believe it will. I thought this was going to be one of the toughest years most of the guys on that Astro roster had ever endured in terms of baseball before COVID.
That's Tony Gwynn Jr. Oh, man. Sorry we couldn't work that out. I was really interested in hearing what he was about to say upon that.
Yeah, he didn't want to answer your old tired-ass question. No way. Yeah. No way.
yeah, he did. He was charged up. Question.
He was charged up. Well, look here. That was Radio.com Sports MLB Insider Tony Gwynn Jr. Insider calls are brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. Go check out Tony on Big Time. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, he and John Heyman, golly, John Heyman, he gets to do a podcast with John Heyman. He's been in the game.
Yeah, yeah, him and John Heyman, they had an awesome interview about Aaron Boone last week and about the status of the MLB season as he was talking to us about. Also, before we get up out of here.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, baby.
Yeah, also, before we get up out of here, just a quick reminder for those that are traveling in their cars. If you aren't in your car, which most of you aren't, the best way to be able to still listen to Sports Radio 610 is through the radio.com app. Just download it to your phone, and that's the best way to listen. And, hey, man, if you got Alexa, just shout out to Alexa. Hey, tell her to play Sports Radio 610, and you'll have your chance to be able to listen to us. Once again, thanks for Tony Gwynn Jr. for joining us. Man, he sounds just like his dad. I've been accused, Clint, of sounding like his father. I don't know why. I don't think I sound like Tony Gwynn, but he sounds just like his dad.
I had to tell him the first time we had him on, I said, Tony, I'm going to be honest with you, your pops is one of my favorite, man. Felt like an old fanboy, but I had to tell him, man. So his pops was one of my favorite.
Yeah. I love Tony Gwynn. All right, man. I think we could be, for the first time, I didn't think I would say this, but for the first time, I think we could be witnessing the fall of the greatest coach, I believe, in team sports, Bill Belichick. I'll get into that next. Clint Sterner in the building, run the show. Hughley filling in this week. Bridget producing this beautiful program. Clint, I'm telling you, man, I know that I was the one, as soon as Tom Brady slid over to the Buccaneers, that said, hey, Belichick is going to be the one that's going to be in the playoffs first. And he may. But I think we are starting
You were hard on that train now. Don't go crawfishing on me now, Chief.
No, that's not fair. If I get new evidence, I can change my opinion, all right? If I get new evidence, and Clint, I think we're about to see the fall of Bill Belichick. I think we are about to see the fall of Bill Belichick, and it's eerily similar to a guy that we know and love in Houston and Bill O'Brien. This is what I read a quote, because I know you need some. Yeah, no, you need, what the hell am I talking about? I read a quote.
Yeah, I need something. Hell, from, you got to give me something.
From Tom Brady in the Players Tribune, and he said, speaking about his time with the Bucks, they've welcomed me in as a member of their own. They want to listen to what I have to say. And if my pastor would repeat the part that really touches his soul again, they want to listen to what I have to say. I'm excited to embrace fully for what I can bring to the Bucks. And he went on to say, I am ready to embrace fully what the team is confident in what I can bring. And we will be willing to go on this ride together and be able to go on this ride with me. This when he specifically when he said they want to listen to what I have to say, that to me is clear. Well, hell, I haven't had that in the past. I haven't had the ability for somebody else to want to listen to what I have to say, even though I am widely thought of as the best quarterback to ever do it. I still don't have people wanting to hear what I got to say. And it just made me think of, all right, how does Bill Belichick get to be able to talk to his players and treat his players the way that Bill O'Brien does and get away with it? The easy part to think about it is because of the championships he's won. And I believe that has a bit to do with it. But I think the overwhelming reason is because Tom Brady was there. And he could treat Tom Brady a certain way to where the other players on the team would just fall in line because, damn it, the greatest player of all time is listening to it and taking it this way. Then I guess that means we should. And they've always said that that Tom Brady was the buffer between Belichick and the other players. Well, now that Tom Brady is no longer there, I don't think Bill is going to be able to get away for a long time treating players the way that he has treated players, because I think a lot of it is going to happen the way we see Bill O'Brien struggle at times with his star players because Brady is no longer there anymore, Clint. I think this is the start of it now that Brady is not there to be the buffer.
I'll agree to what? The extent of I'll agree with your point. I told you before, you were the one that thought that they're going to be back in the playoffs and win a division and all this job. I think they're going to struggle without Brady. I don't know about the fall of Bill Belichick. That may be a little bit aggressive, but I believe that you can learn a lot when we listen to players talk about where they're at. We can learn a lot about where they came from. And to me, I think you're spot on when you say when Brady's quoted as saying they want to listen to what I have to say. I think there was very little player input, big picture into what New England was doing on a daily basis. And I think that's probably been the case since Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have been together. I do believe that Tom Brady's I think the power in New England was that Kraft, Belichick, and Brady were one. They were yes, aligned and adjoined at the hip, and there was no breaking them, and none of those guys were going to bend or break for the other. It was those three, and with one of those gone, the locker room component of that championship trio gone, I do believe it changes the game significantly. I do believe that it's going to make it difficult for this coaching staff in New England to relate to the players and to maybe treat players and coach the way that they have in the past. I absolutely agree with that point you're making. This is a game changer for Bill Belichick, and you can hear it precisely in what Tom Brady's saying about his new team.
Because I think a lot of times when they had free agents or players want to go there, they want to go there to win, but then when they get there, they'll be like, all right, Brady's here. I'm here to play with Brady.
Yeah, you want to go there. We talked about this show. You want to go to New England because you know in the fourth quarter of every single game you play, you're going to either be winning or have a damn good chance to be winning. And a lot of that has to do with Tom Brady. And that's why you want to go to New England. Now there's no Tom Brady, and you got players going in there that are going to be like, hey, Jarrett Stidham, that's where the win or lose line is drawn, is with Jarrett Stidham. He may be great. I love Jarrett Stidham personally, but – it's definitely different than the GOAT, that's for sure.
No, I think you've dealt with player hell. You know players that played in your time when you played for the Cowboys and when you played in the league, and you know players even maybe a decade after you played, and then you know today's players. Today's players are different, Clint. And we see it with Bill O'Brien and his disconnect without to communicate with players today. I think Bill Belichick has the same disconnect. Hell, I think that's where Bill learned it. was from Bill Belichick. He has that same disconnect, but he's always had his number one soldier to be his leader and to be the guy that can go down and go and put Randy, arm around Randy, go put an arm around Josh Gordon, go put an arm around certain players like, hey, man, it's good. It's good. I got you. This is how we got to do it. That ain't there no more, Jack. That's not there. And I don't care how many championships you've won. For I think the majority of today's players, they expect that you treat them a certain way. And I don't think Bill Belichick consistently treats these cats a certain way. And I think it's been helped a lot because he's had the best buffer in the league. And that's no longer there. And I think he's going to be much closer to Bill O'Brien than we believe.
Yeah, look, I can't disagree with your point of the fact that without Brady, it is a serious, serious game changer.
Well, tell me if I'm like, is today's player a lot different? Is there like for most coaches, do you have to change the way you coach players from like just 10 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you do. And I think there's a handful of coaches that still do it the old school way. And I think Bill Belichick is one of those guys. But, Well, you know, where Bill Belichick is a monster is I think he does more with less. I think he's got a plan. He sticks to a plan relative to who he's going to pay, how he's going to pay him. And I think that ultimately Bill Belichick's ability to hold guys accountable for their actions, regardless of who they are, I just think that recipe and the willingness to always stand behind it, I think is much more powerful than most coaches out there. And then you add on top of that, you know, he's one of the best defensive minds in the game.
Yes.
There ain't no question about it. He's one of the best defensive minds in the game. And so – When you couple the fact that the guy's got more Super Bowl rings than he can put on one hand, he's one of the best defensive minds in the game, and he's got a commitment to a winning culture that never, ever cracks at all, you know, that combination right there is going to win you a bunch of ball games. And we can talk – look, Bill O'Brien doesn't have the rings. Bill O'Brien damn sure doesn't have the offensive or defensive mind that's one of the best in the game. And so what do you have? You got a culture that you've built that's pretty solid. And can Bill O'Brien do something other than that? We'll see. But ultimately with Bill Belichick, there's a handful of things that are going to win him 8, 9, 10 games every year simply by the way they implement things.
I look at Rob Gronkowski. I think Rob Gronkowski would have retired 5 years ago if Tom Brady wasn't there. I think
no question.
And not just because of throwing passes. I think when I think of that's the first player I think about in between the buffer of Belichick and other players is how Brady probably maneuvered that relationship to make that to make Rob Gronkowski stay longer. By the way, Rob Gronkowski won a WWE championship this weekend. He's the 24/7 champion, by the way, at WrestleMania. Rob Gronkowski, who was the host of WrestleMania, he won a championship. By the way, real quick, Clint, I want to thank WrestleMania. They really brought an opinion that I didn't know that I had to the surface. I watched WrestleMania this weekend, and they've done like a lot of events. UFC has done it where they didn't have any fans in the crowd or anything like that. It was just the wrestlers. Clint, I'm completely out on sports without fans. After watching WrestleMania this weekend without fans, I kept thinking of every moment. Well, what would this be like if we were in NRG? What would this be like if we were in the Toyota Center? What would this be like if we were in Minute Maid? Like, I was just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I think the play would suffer. I don't think the players would play as well. And it would just – I the whole time I was sitting there thinking they should have just canceled this. And I feel like that's how I'm going to be at times watching these team sports without fans, Clint. I'm out.
Yeah, I didn't watch WrestleMania. I didn't get a chance to sit down and watch any of that. But for me, I agree with you that it's tough to watch. I agree with you that it's totally different. But I disagree from a standpoint. If that's all we got, I'm watching this. I'm watching it. You know what I mean? If that's the only option that we have relative to getting games in so that the seasons aren't canceled, I'm watching those games. We're talking about those games. So, you know, I don't – for me, I understand where it definitely changes the excitement, the entertainment value behind it. There's no doubt about it. The thing is, with the little bit of the WrestleMania stuff that I was able to see, there's no distractions. And when there's no distractions, you see every facial expression. You see every move. You see everything that happens – and it is tough to watch.
You have broadcasters whispering because they're getting nervous that they're getting too loud and people are hearing them. I think you can answer to this because you've played at the highest levels. I didn't realize even as much as I thought I knew how much people feed off of the energy of the crowd. And I honestly, I feel like the performance will suffer. I feel like we won't get to see. That's my favorite thing about watching sports, is being able to see athletes at their absolute best and perform at their absolute best and to see greatness. And I honestly feel like without that extra push of fans, like I think a pickup game is different watching James Harden at a pickup game somewhere is different than him being with the juice of the crowd. And I think we're going to see it suffer. I'm with you. If it's all we got, I mean, I'm sure I know I'll be watching. But if it's all we got, I honestly believe it will suffer. The play will suffer from the athletes, and that I'm not about that.
Yeah, there is zero doubt that the play would suffer. There's zero doubt that the energy – and the momentum that's built by the crowd is a huge game changer in any level sport. Doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's a high school game, a college game, or a pro game. The fans and the noise level is definitely a game changer. And so it's going to be tough to watch if that is the only option that they can come up with. But again, I'll take that over nothing at this point. Nothing. For the last month has been an absolute monster.
And I'll be honest, I feel like Bill Belichick would find a way to cheat. I feel like he would hear, it's so silent, he'd be able to hear more of these play calls, hear what the quarterback is changing in time, being able to hear it clearly, whatever their calls and signals are, whatever. I feel like he'd find a way to cheat. I think he would recruit some sort of advantage because he can hear everything on the field.
He can hear everything. He'll definitely find a way to get an edge, but it might make it more difficult for Bill Belichick to find a way to cheat simply because there's no distractions.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you, man, how's it been going? You said since at the beginning of this quarantine, you were struggling getting your workouts in. You still been hitting the gym.
So I'm getting some workouts in. I tell you, I got a hell of a deal for you.
I haven't.
I mean, you hadn't. What the hell's going on? Well, you got three kids. You got a newborn. I mean, you're doing everything.
That as an excuse.
You're breaking Ethernet cords. I mean, you're doing everything you can just to keep your head above water right now. Look, it's all right, man. Let's set some realistic expectations for the next few months. It's going to be tough. You got a lot on your plate, but man, I mean, here's the deal, man, is I got a nice little garage gang workout that I do, put this workout on the board. Just completely, I mean, it's all set up. I mean, all the others have to do is essentially just show up and be willing to show up with a good attitude and some energy, and you can get a great workout in. And I'll be damned if I ain't working out the other day. And my lady, she yells at me. She yells at me to get up and get to work. What do you think about that?
Oh, you wasn't working hard enough for her.
Hell, I was on the backside of about a week-long sickness. I was struggling to breathe. And I was in there doing everything I can. And it's a time thing, right? We got a little timer thing going where we work for 30 seconds, you rest for 20 seconds. Work 30, rest 20. And that old buzzer went off, and she's going to yell at me to get up and get to work. Come on, get up and get to work.
Hold on. Hey. I got questions. What kind of yell was this? Was this a yell of motivation? Like, come on, baby, get up.
It was a disgust. It was a disgust yell. And she's not a yeller at all. She typically is very coachable and just kind of moves through the workout, gets her stuff done, worries about herself. That's what I thought. It was weird. I built this monster. We've been working out together, and it's fun. It's great for our relationship. And all of a sudden, she's really turned the corner when she starts dog cussing me. I thought, damn, okay. Let me get up and get back to work then.
See,
damn.
It motivated you. You got up. You didn't. Was you crazy enough to say something back?
No. It kind of turned me on. I ain't going to lie to you. Like it was one of those like, damn, okay, take the initiative. Take some initiative. I mean, put your damn foot down. Get to work, baby. I like it. Yeah, it kind of turned me on a little bit.
It turned you on. Really went to work. We went crazy on it. You really worked out. I bet your ass, your nasty ass, really worked out. Oh, man. Good for her. Somebody needs to get their foot in your ass.
I told her, I said, look here. When we walked home, I said, look here. Don't get used to that right there. I let that one slide. I'm the damn coach in this garage. You don't talk to the coach like that.
See, I want to come at some point, and I want to work out, and I want her to go off on me, because I'm telling you right now, I know I'm gonna move slow when that buzzer goes off, and I want to see maybe it was. I bet it's motivating. I'm not gonna say it's gonna turn me on, but I bet it is motivating. I want her to cuss me out. Did she cuss?
Does she cuss like a sailor?
I said, did she cuss when she told you?
Oh, did she cuss? I don't remember. She may have said ass. She may have told me to
get your ass up.
It was quick, and it was from the stomach. You know what I mean? It's from the gut. It wasn't like a, hey, man, you need to get up and get to work. No, it was like put some bass in her voice from the gut. Like, you're embarrassing me. Get your ass up and get to work is kind of how I took it. After I put the whole damn thing together, it was my workout. That's the kicker here. It ain't like I showed up to her routine, her little cycle class or something.
I think you did a great job. I think she did a great job. She got you motivated and turned on. That's right, folks. Clint's getting turned on right now thinking about it. So let's go to break so Clint can get himself together. And listen, I've been sitting here thinking about an earlier conversation we had. We talked to Tony Gwynn Jr. If you missed that, it was a really good conversation we had with him. It's this baseball thing. Baseball stepping out and being potentially the first team sport to start things back up. Over the last 2 hours, I've had a thought I want to share. We'll get into that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.